Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you praise. You're good. You're better than good, actually. Good is just one of the best words we have in our vocabulary for you. Great pales in comparison to what you are. Exceptional doesn't even come close. But Lord, we do know you're patient. We know your loving kindness is phenomenal. And tonight, God, I'm just asking that you keep us on this narrow path. Allow us to walk in your ways, have your thoughts, open our ears to receive what the Spirit says to the church. Give us a receptive heart and the strength to walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, so we have been dealing with what makes a laborer, and in dealing with that, let me say this, and I'm going to be in the book of Numbers again. There are times where you miss your harvest, like straight up miss it. Like, ooh, that was harvest. It's like driving and you miss your exit. Like you just boom. And it takes you out the way, right? It takes you out the way when you miss your harvest. There are also times where you're doing the wrong thing. So you missed your exit because you weren't paying attention. You missed your exit because you were doing something you didn't have no business. You was texting and driving, whatever you was doing. So sometimes missing the harvest is your fault. And you come to yourself. You get yourself together, you come into alignment, you come into recalibration, and often what happens, hear me very clearly, when you have missed harvest and God gives you another chance, you cannot overlook the fact that there's a new set of instructions. I'll do it again. When you have missed the harvest and God gives you another chance, you cannot overlook the fact that there is often a new set of instructions. In other words, your second chance, third chance, 12th chance, 15th chance, doesn't come with the same set of instructions as the first chance. Sure it does, Bishop. Well, I mean, we see this walk out before us even in Genesis, where after Adam makes his mistake, God says, you can still eat. However, thorns and thistles, sweat of your brow. So there's a different set of instructions. And here's how you now need to handle your wife. And wife, this is how you now need to handle your husband. And so you're still here. There's still blessings, but there's a different set of instructions that come with harvest this time. So when you're given the grace, because that's what it is, and the mercy to take a test over, come on, this is important. You don't get the exact same test again. Oh, come on, y'all. If I'm the teacher, and I'm going to give you the grace to retake, if I gave you the exact same test, all I'm verifying is your ability to memorize the answers. In order for me to verify whether or not you understand the principles, I have to give you a different test that covers the same material. Oh, boy. So when it comes to God and we're asking God for another chance, don't expect the other chance to be wrapped in the exact same package as the first chance. Because what God is testing is not your ability to memorize the answers, but instead your ability to apply the principles. Y'all walking with me so far? So with that, one of the mistakes that we often make is we move as if our previous experience is enough to take us forward. And that's not always true. Like you leave God behind. Like, all right, I got it now. I got it. You know, it's like little kids do that. When you're trying to teach them and they do it right one time and then they say, no, I got it. You don't. Because that was your first time. And I'm going to have to verify that you have it a few times. And even then, I still need to let you know that I'm here to ask questions to. So the harvest of the Lord, write this down, please. The harvest of the Lord requires the hand of the Lord. I say it again. The harvest of the Lord requires the hand of the Lord. what is available, what is possible, and all of that demands God's hand. With God, stuff is easy. Without God, stuff becomes impossible. Stuff, like the very thing that you're like, oh, I can do that with the Lord. He's like, of course you can, but without me, you can't come close. You know how David said, like, don't take your spirit from me? And sometimes we get to testify and you like, look, God, just whatever you do, don't take your hand off of me. There are some things that are not difficult that if God's hand is not on you, would become unbearable. No, for real. And when you recognize that God has given you a supernatural grace, a supernatural provision, you know, a supernatural insight into things, please understand, you don't want God to take that. Don't take that for granted. So that the harvest of the Lord requires the hand of the Lord. And so many of us in this room, if we're honest, how many of us are willing to say that God has given us another chance? I can't even count mine. I can't even do that. And so when we breach the plan of God the first time, even after repentance, we should cling and rely on God more. Like, so if I've messed up with God and I repent, I need to cling on to God even more, not say, okay, I got it. I messed up last time, but I'm good. So I need you to write this. The grace of the Lord does not limit or nullify the requirements he gives us for harvest. Again, the grace of the Lord does not limit or nullify the requirements he gives us for harvest. Third time. The grace of the Lord does not limit or nullify the requirements he gives us for harvest. All right? We must never elevate our ways above his ways. What does Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Right? So don't elevate your way above his way. So just because God has given you grace, that doesn't mean that the requirements get easier. The requirement is the requirement is the requirement is the requirement. So let's dig into our text. Now, here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to jump through Numbers. I'm going to jump through it to recapitulate our background. Then I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to give us some more information. So Numbers 13, let's read 1 and 2 again. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, look at this, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. Stop. Right then, it should have been over. Like, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. Just go see it. We're done with this. Now, I've been working through this text for weeks. But even still, as many times as I have gone back over verse 1 and 2, I still got people who are looking at the promises of God that you have written down in your journals, prophecies that you have received, things which are right there in the word which apply to you, and you go, maybe not. He says it right there in verse 1. So for instance, like when God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed go begging for bread, why are you talking about your seed go begging for bread unless you're worried about your righteousness? It's a promise. He said it. That's what it is. Now, when you state that back to him, you should be good. God, you said you've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've checked my record. I think I'm in alignment. If I'm not, show me, because I don't want my seed to beg for bread. And Lord, if you're saying that my record is clear and I'm in alignment and I'm walking righteously, then I believe that my seed won't go beg for bread. So we're not going to have to worry about these school fees. We're not going to have to worry about what my children need. Amen? So don't overlook that. Skip down to verse 27. Verse 27, it reads, thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, 29. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Stop. That shouldn't have come up. I don't care. God is like, it's your land. That's all it should have been. God, this is what we saw. Here's the fruit. This is what we saw. Here's the fruit. Next step, God. Let me say this to everybody tonight. You can bring what you see before God, but you can't walk by it. Oh, boy. You can bring what you see before God, but you don't walk by it. God, this is what I saw, but you don't get to allow what you see to cause you to behave a different way. You gotta walk by faith and not by what? Beautiful. Now let's look at verse 31. Because Caleb done quieted the people. Verse 31. The men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Stop. No. Absolutely not. I can't go to school. Did God say you were going to school? Yes. Then why are you saying you can't go? Why does your language not match what the Lord said? Adam, I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you was naked? Who told you that? I didn't say that. The way I left you, then was the clothes I intended for you to wear? None. So who told you that how I made you was incorrect? Who told you that the instructions that I left you with needed to be modified? You didn't hear it from me. Okay, I'll give it another way. Adam, why are you behaving under a different set of instructions? And many of us are. If God gives you a promise, that's it. Move like the promises of God are yes and amen. The people there are too strong. That has nothing to do with anything. I don't see this. Thank God that I'm not God. Thank you, Lord. Because, you know, I'd be doing a whole lot of art. I didn't say that. That'd be my conversation. What did I say? What did I say? That'd be my conversation with the people. What did I say? But I think that that's how God feels about some of us. Like, how many times do we need to have this conversation? Matter of fact, let's look at verse 33. Verse 33, there also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we are in their sight. You've limited yourself. You've belittled yourself. You've caused yourself to be something that God didn't. Then we get to chapter 14, and it gets worse. Let's look at chapter 14. This is all background. Verse 1, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Stop. What are y'all crying for? I'm trying to figure out what you're crying for. You're literally sitting here with a promise on your life, weeping because God promised you something. They ain't been to war. Nobody's even threatened them. Now look, okay, let's look how protected they had been. They sent 12 men into the city, undetected, who came back with fruit, was able to see who was there. What are y'all complaining about? What are you crying about? There are some times where you have to remember, like, God, if I've made it this far, I'm not going to stop making it now. Amen? If you brought me this far, what makes you think that God's going to be like, well, that's as strong as I am. That's all I can do. Whew. My strength done wore out. Verse 2, all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. That don't even make no sense. Verse 3, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Look, is craziness. Let's go find somebody. Let's make him the leader so we can go back to bondage. There's so many principles in that. There's so many. Oh, there's so many ways we can go because that's what we do. I'd rather be under someone taking me where I want to go instead of submit to somebody taking me where I need to go. Huh? Think about this. Think about Genesis. Leave your country and your kindred. Go to a place that I will show you. If you're not going to take me where I want to go, God, I'm not going to follow you. God's like, but no. I'll take you to where you need to go. Yeah, but is it where I want to go? That's how we treat God. Lord, I'll say yes as long as I'm saying yes to what I want. But no. I need you to say yes to my will. Well, could you tell me exactly what your will looks like? How long is it going to take? How expensive is it? Who's going to hurt me? How many friends am I going to have? What do I get to drive? Where do I get to live in your will? Just tell me what it looks like, and then I know whether or not I'm saying yes. No, I need you to say yes knowing nothing. Well, I don't like that, God. That's how we treat God. I'll just go find somebody who's going to lead the way I want. Many of us are right there. As a matter of fact, yep, I'll say that, Lord. We enter into even marital relationships right there. Let me go find someone who's going to give me the marriage I want. I don't care nothing about what God wants for me. He's going to give me what I want. Like, I've literally heard people say, ooh, we'll make pretty babies together. That was your requirements? That's all you got? That's all the synergy y'all got between each other? Pretty babies. Wow. That's amazing. So due to the relationship that God had with Moses, now here's where things get interesting. So I ended with that Sunday. But due to the relationship that God had with Moses, the children of Israel literally received a pardon. Because God was mad, y'all. When I say God was mad, look, matter of fact, let me prove it. Look at verse 11. This is chapter 14, verse 11. And then just put that one verse up and leave that up. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? How long will they not believe me despite all the signs which I performed in their midst? Go to verse 12. I'm sorry. I will smite them. I will smite them with pestilence and disposes them. And I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. I'm going to tear them up. God is like, I got them. I got them. Don't worry. I'm about to take everybody out. Now, here's the thing. God and Moses were so cool that Moses prayed for the people who were against him. Okay. Did y'all hear what I said? I said God and Moses were so cool that Moses was like, don't kill him, God. Even though they want to overthrow me, protect them, God. Even though my boss has it out to get me, Lord, make sure that the next time they go to the doctor, everything's okay. Even though my coworker is lying on me, Lord, I'm praying for her heart, that she may know you. Even though my family is stabbing me in the back, God, I'm praying for them that they get the resources they need to go to school. And God, listen to Moses. Don't kill him, God. A display of mercy was given. A display of mercy. Hear me. Mercy, when you don't receive what you deserve. That's what mercy is. When you don't receive what... See, grace is when I receive something that I don't deserve. Mercy, when I don't receive something that I absolutely do deserve. Does that make sense? So the presence of mercy, write this down, please. The presence of mercy must never cause us to feel entitled. You know how Romans says, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? Same thing with mercy. The presence of mercy must cause us to never feel entitled. Because just because God shows mercy doesn't mean there are no consequences. I know we don't like that. Just because God shows mercy doesn't mean there's no consequences. So, again, let's read verse 11 again. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? How long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? That question can be asked to us. How long are you going to keep acting like that, despite all the things I've done for you? How long are we going to keep working with this, despite all the signs? And look at what it says right there. Despite all the signs which I've performed in their midst. He doesn't say, despite all the signs I performed to them. Despite all the signs that I performed that they saw. God holds you accountable to the signs you see, not just the signs you experience. Okay, that was great. Did y'all hear what I said? God holds you accountable to the signs you see, not just the signs you experience. God expects you to be grateful for the signs that he performs, even if they're not performed for you. The fact that he allowed you to see him heal somebody else should make you feel good about God. He says, I did all of this in their midst. I let them see me work. We pay, good God, to see sports stars. We pay to see them entertain us. We pay to go to concerts. And God says, wait a minute. So you believe in 2023 that favorite sports star, insert favorite sports star, is worth this ticket price. And you'll pay, get something to eat, to watch that sports star perform in your midst. God says, I do it in your midst for free. And all I ask is for some appreciation. And you won't even lift your hands. You pay to celebrate somebody who will never do anything for you. Think about that logic. Think about this logic. They don't even know your name. And you pay to celebrate somebody who don't know you, who benefits from you but is no benefit to you. Verse 20. Skip down to verse 20. So the Lord said, Moses done prayed. He done prayed. Verse 20, the Lord said, all right, I've pardoned them according to your word. Moses, something else, isn't he? I've pardoned them according to your word, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. He said, I did it. I pardoned them because you told me to. But make no mistakes about it. I'm going to get glory. Go back to verse 20. I have pardoned them. Write the word pardon down. Now this is going to sting a little bit. Now, a synonym for pardon is forgive. A synonym for pardon is forgive. The New Testament teaches this. Oh, Jesus. If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. That is the Bible, right? No, I'm not making this up. This is the scriptures. Okay. If you don't pardon others, I won't pardon you. Do we agree? Okay. The word pardon means, because some of y'all think y'all forgave people and you haven't. The word pardon means to stop blaming and taking offense. Oh, yes. As long as you're still blaming them, you haven't pardoned them. As long as you're still taking offense from them, you haven't pardoned them. Yes. Absolutely. That's including yourself. That's including yourself. Because sometimes some of us actually have the hardest time forgiving ourselves. And because we're having such a hard time forgiving ourselves, we actually project our inability to forgive ourselves onto others. Okay. Y'all think I made that up. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay. I would argue that that's exactly what we're doing. This is exact. You're doing it. You're following that scripture to a T. You don't love yourself. So you have trouble loving your neighbor. So your inability to stop blaming you gives you an absolute deficit in forgiveness to others. I'm never going to get this right. I'm always going to have this problem. This is never going to work out. No. So watch this. So that means you have a problem with self. So the problem you have with self impacts how you see others. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my self-perception is embedded into my heart. My mouth then is a direct reflection of what's within me. Yes, Lord. And when I begin to talk to other people, what's in me is projected out. Then they respond based upon what's in them. So now you just got two broken people just throwing broken glass at each other. Amen. And when people get cut, now you want to get mad and disfellowship instead of both parties saying, let's get mature and let's grow up. Huh? At some point, somebody needs to say, excuse me, wait a minute. The reason that I keep talking out the side of my neck is because when you talk, I keep hearing it through my broken ears. Okay, watch this. I'm not trying to be funny at all. Have you ever noticed that when you begin to lose your hearing, you elevate your voice? Y'all ain't never been around nobody who's losing a hearing. When you begin to lose your hearing, you talk louder because you're trying to hear yourself? Okay, so watch this. If I lose my spiritual hearing, the voice that gets elevated is the voice of anger, the voice of, okay. See, because when I can't hear you right, I got to elevate my voice. And when I elevate my voice in the middle of that, this is what causes argument, because there is an elevation of voice because I can't hear myself. I can't hear, okay, in order for communication to take place, when I talk to you, I should hear myself, because when I hear myself coming out of your mouth, it tells me that you heard me, that you listened to me. And when I hear myself back, I don't have to elevate my voice. But when I do not feel heard, I feel like I have to elevate my voice to be heard in the room. The elevation of my voice causes you to elevate your voice, because instead of trying to hear each other, we only want to hear ourselves. We talk to each other like we talk to God. Monologue, not dialogue. Oh, are y'all learning today? All right, wonderful. So he wants his glory. Now, again, some may say, well, how do I stop blaming, or how do I stop taking? Because the Lord just said he's going to pardon. Look, I have pardoned them. Now I will. I already did it. Hey, media team, put up 1 Corinthians 13:5 on the screen. Put up 1 Corinthians 13:5, please. Please. That's Psalms. We're going to get there. That's fine. I'm going to let them take their time. I'm doing real good on time. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 13:5. They working on it. Y'all turn there in your devices, in your Bibles. There it is. This is talking about love. Are y'all ready? No. This is talking about love. Love does not act unbecomingly. It, that's love, does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Wait. Here's the one that's been slapping me for about 2 months. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Do y'all see this here verse? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So when I communicate with you, I should not take into account what you did to me, even if it was wrong. When what comes out of my mouth should not be a response, it should be a reflection of who I serve, not a response of what you said. Y'all hear me? Because I'm not taking into account a wrong suffered. I'm not matching energy. I'm not matching energy. Y'all in the room? You with me? Yes. All right.
Okay, so he pardons the children of Israel.
Yep.
But then the next
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay,
let me give it to you another way. Go back to Numbers 14, and let's start at verse 20, guys. Let me show y'all something. 14:20. You have to couple what he did with what he also knows. Let me show you, Chris. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. 21, keep moving. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. 22. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. Keep going. Shall, now I'm in the future, by no means see, future tense, the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. Now, here's the thing. What we're going to see in a minute is it didn't have to be that way. I have a pardon, but then I have a prophecy. Y'all still not going to do right. You with me? Like, here's what's before you. I pardoned you, but y'all about to act up. I know you are. It's like Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not me, Lord. Watch and see. He says it's not going to happen for him, because there's parts of this text, guys, that I have missed so very much. Run to verse 36. Watch this. Verse 36. As for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, verse 37. Even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died. They died by a plague before the Lord. Why don't we ever teach this part? We teach Caleb how he quieted the people. We grateful for Caleb, because Caleb's going to go to war. At some 40 years later, Caleb's going to go to war, and the promise is still going to be on him in 40 years. And he's going to get the land 40 years later. The promise is not going to leave him. But we never teach that the people who grumbled against their leader died of a plague in front of the people. But here's the thing. There's still another group of people who the Lord had pardoned, and they're not going to act right. Now, one would think, Chris, that when they see these guys, they would have been like, let's get some gear right. Let's get right. Let's stop acting this way. Now, remember, when God gives you another chance, you got to learn your lesson. You got to repent. You got to get into alignment, all of that. But we don't do that. The harvest of the Lord requires the hand of the Lord. I can't get what God has for me without him. And we can't elevate our ways over that. So by the time I get here, go one more verse. Go to 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive out of those men who went to spy out the land. So, all right. Now, here's what gets interesting about this. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Hold on. Wait. Slow it down. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of but only Caleb quieted the people, which means, and this goes to Chris's point, Joshua apparently had a change of heart. Joshua wasn't the one that quieted the people. So that means 2 out of the 12. So the plague only killed 10. The plague didn't have to hit them. Just like that, the word after the pardon didn't have to hit the other group. Because the spies went out. Caleb was like, we can do it. You never see anything that Joshua said. But apparently at some point Joshua was like, I'm with you, man. At some point, Joshua was like, I don't know what they're talking about. But I'm rolling with you, cuz. He right. Like, I'm going with you. And everybody else, those 10, gone. Now, it gets even more interesting. I want us to see three serious mistakes. So now I got 10 spies who've died. I got 2 spies who are left. And I got the group of people who just grumbled and Moses done prayed for them. And they got, God's like, I'm going to get glory now. Don't play with me. It's one of those. Don't you play with me. It's like a parent. You got one more game. Don't you play with me. Now, go to verse 39. Watch this. When Moses spoke these words to the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. Now, Chris is like, this is your moment. This your moment. Get it right. They mourned. Verse 40. Watch it. In the morning, however, they rose up early. See, as soon as I saw however, I knew this is about to go all bad. In the morning, however, they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country saying, here we are. We've indeed sinned. Good. But we will go up to the place which the Lord had promised. Wait a minute. Verse 41. But Moses said, all right. Why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Now, this is the leader who just prayed for you. Y'all should listen. 42. Do not go up or you will be struck down. Do not go up or you will be struck down before your enemies. For the Lord is not among you. Amen. Don't y'all go up here. You ain't got no help. You had help in chapter 13. We in chapter 14, verse 42, and you done lost your help. You know how the preacher say, I feel my help? You lying. You ain't got no help. Don't you go up there. But I got a promise. See, here's the thing. You done messed up. So there's a different set of requirements. So you don't get to go get this harvest the same way you could have got the harvest. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's like this. The interest rate you can get with good credit and the interest rate you can get with bad credit ain't the same interest rate. Now, you can go buy the same car, but with bad credit, you pay more. Lord have mercy. And so here it is. They credit done took a hit. He said, don't you go up. The Lord ain't with you. Now, if they would have said, okay, cool. How do we get the Lord with us? That's what I want them to say. Verse 43. The Amalekites, the Canaanites will be there in front of you. You'll fall by the sword inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord and the Lord will not be with you. Now, he done told you 2 different ways. Don't y'all go up there. 44. But they went up heedlessly. Oh. See? They went on up there heedlessly. Now look, it gets worse. Look. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left. Moses was like, I'm not going with y'all. I'm not going up there with y'all. Neither the Ark, Lord, they didn't even leave the camp. Verse 45. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as. It didn't have to go like this. It didn't have to go like this. So, go back one verse. Lord have mercy. Okay. So he done told them, don't y'all go up there. That's what he said, Heidi. He said, don't go. So I got 3 serious mistakes that they made. Number one, I'm going to give y'all these mistakes and we're going to leave. Number one, they went up without a promise. Oh, boy. God promised it to them before. Yeah, but now they under a different set. You under a different set of instructions now because your first breach has now caused you to not be able to go up the same way you could go up before, right? That, again, let's use credit. If you went in and you got approved with a 750 and you come back with a 400, you don't get the 750 rate, right? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? This is not true. So they went up, and when Moses was like, at, don't go up. God's not with you. They should have said, here's what they should have said. How do we get God with us? Let's talk about that. That's not what they want. The Bible says they went up heedlessly. Okay, now that word heedlessly, because remember I told you to write down, they went without a promise. Heedlessly. That means they went with presumption. I'll give it to you another way. Without permission. That's heedlessly. You went without permission. Didn't nobody tell you to do that. As a matter of fact, you were told not to, and you did it anyway. It's like driving your car through a road closed sign and then wanting to sue because you tear your car up. You have driven through heedlessly. That's like bridge out, bridge out, bridge out, bridge out, and you just, oh my God, I drove off the bridge. Of course you did. We told you the bridge was out. So Moses is like, don't go. God's not with you. Don't go. God's not with you. They were like, we're going. That's heedless. It's without permission. How many things do you do because you think you've grown without permission? Without permission. I know you've grown, but we don't know everything. And many of us are not qualified. Listen, hear me. You are not qualified to be over if you consistently demonstrate that you don't know how to be under. I'll say it again. You're not qualified to be over if you consistently demonstrate that you don't know how to be under. See what that is. You're not qualified. But what does that have to do with harvest? What does that have to do with promise? Okay. To be over includes blessing. See, when God gives you a blessing, you're called to steward it. Y'all with me here? If God gives you a blessing, you're called to steward it. How can God place blessing or harvest under your hand? That means you're over it. When you consistently show, you don't know how to be under yourself. You can't supervise if you can't be supervised. Amen. So you're not ready for blessing if you don't know how to be under the blessor. Because you'll mess around and tell people you got it yourself. These people, Moses was like, don't do it. They were like, we're doing it anyway. God's like, nah, you can't have this. You about to get beat down. Listen, in this season of harvest, if you want the harvest of the Lord, you have to demonstrate to God that you're a good steward. You got to get under the blesser in order to receive the blessing. Number two, they went up without the ark. Lord have mercy. This is a bad idea because the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. This means they were moving without the presence. Don't do it. Don't do that. Hey, media, put up Exodus 33. We're going to go 14 to 16. Exodus 33, 14 to 16. Brothers is back there working. I'm trying not to needlessly stress them out, but this is a good time to learn. Exodus 33, 14 through 16. Because many times you're trying to do all kind of stuff, and God's like, I'm not there. We're not on the same page. I'm not with you. But again, this goes back to being heedless. They're still working on it. This goes back to being heedless. You're going up without permission. Think about this for a second, guys. Think about this for a second. Don't think that because it's small, you don't need to ask. Like, this is no big deal. This is no big deal. It fits me. I don't need to ask God, can I wear it? Oh, okay. No, you do, though. I got gas in the car. I don't need to ask God if he wants me to go. You do, though. You do know. I can afford it. I don't need to ask God, can I buy it? You should, though. It's on the menu. I don't need to ask God, can I order it? You probably should, though. See, when you demonstrate that the small things don't matter, that's this right here, that's disrespectful to God. Because watch this. If you make all the small decisions on your own and then only go to God when the small decisions have caused a big problem, so you made 20 small decisions that you didn't think you needed, God. You made all them by yourself. Then them 20 small decisions have caused one big problem. And now you go to God for the big problem, but you ignored him on the small decisions. And he said, this is God, my presence shall go with you, and I'll give you rest. And that was a promise. Ain't that good news? Verse 15. He said to him, this is Moses. If your presence does not go with us, don't even lead us up from here. I know it. Verse 16. For how then can it be that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us? So that we, I, and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are up on the face of the earth. He says, look, the thing that makes us different from everybody else is you. The thing that makes us different is that you're with us and not with them. Our differentiating mark is presence, not worship style. Okay. Our differentiating mark is presence, not denomination, not suits, not none of that. That's not what differentiates us. What differentiates us is God. I don't care what you try to paint it, try to make it look like. If God is not with it, I don't care how slick it is, how great the presentation is, how great your flyers are. If God ain't a part of it, I'm not going. I'm not. This is what Moses was like. He's like, I'm not leaving here if you're not with me. Are y'all walking with me? How many places have we gone? And God was like, I'm not going. You're like, I got it, God. I'll see you when I get back. Huh? It's not like that. It's not like, you know, if I tell Jamila, like, hey, babe, I'm going for a run. You want to go? No, I'm not going. Cool. I'll see you when I get back. It's not like that. God, I'm going for a run. You want to go? I'm not going. Neither am I. Because if you don't go with me on this run, even in the small things, Lord, should I run? You shouldn't run today. Got it. I don't know why I shouldn't run, but I'm listening. I feel good about running, but though, don't run today. No, you shouldn't go out. Lord, this is my route to work. Don't take that route today. Don't go that, not today. This the way I always go, not today. See, because I'm a firm believer that God constantly evaluates whether or not you're hearing his voice. Even in the small things. Especially in the small things. Now go back to the Numbers text where we were. That's 14. And I think we're at 44. Go to 44. Now he already said, look, I'm not going. You're not going, I'm not going. So they heedlessly went to the ridge. That's a problem. Neither the ark of the Lord, Lord Jesus. So problem number two. So I said they went without a promise. They went without the ark. This is strike one and strike two, y'all. Soon as they didn't see the ark move, they should have been like, nah. The ark got us across the Red Sea. The ark got us manna. The ark done gave us water, meat from the sky, pillar of fire, little cloud. Our clothes and everything ain't wearing out. Shoes, sandals are still good to go. And you want us to go over here without that? I'm cool. It's amazing how we get brand new when you be feeling brand new. Just get brand new. All that, it don't take all that. The very person we go to pray for us still doing all that. But you said don't take all that. I'll leave that be. Number three, they went up without their leader. So number one, they went up without a promise. Number two, they went up without the ark or the presence. Number three, they went up without their leader. Look, heedlessly, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses. Soon as Moses was like, I'm not going. Y'all, if I would have seen the staff sitting in his hand, be like, come on, Moses, we good. Me too, because here's what y'all will find. Guess who didn't go? Joshua and Caleb. We with you, dog. They can go up there if they want to. Joshua and Caleb didn't go. Joshua stayed with him. Caleb stayed with him. So did all the young people. Young folks stayed with him too. It was like, no, we're not going over here. They went up without their leader. They literally tried to get something that God had only sanctioned their leader to get them to. God gave a promise to the leader. The leader gave the promise to the people. And now the people want to bypass the leader to get to the promise. It didn't work like that. There are some things, I'm going to say this and I'm going to let us go. I really am. There are some things that God has for you that can only be obtained with the sanctioned key holder. There are some things, I know in 2023, we don't need no leaders. I don't need nobody. I can do this all by myself. But let me tell y'all something. There are some promises. There's some doors that open when you get under the right leader. When you get under the right leader, when you get under that one anointed to help you, there's some things that open. And when you get out from under that leader, there's some things that close. There's some things that you don't get access to when you get out from under the right. Now, I'm not trying to hoard none of that. I'm not one of those guys who's like, you can't go to no other churches. And you can't listen to whatever you want to. If it's false, you know, be careful. There's a lot of foolishness out here. No, seriously, it's a bunch of foolishness and false doctrine out here. It's fine. Go to the conference. Go ahead. Go buy the ticket to the concert. No problem. But you got to make sure you find the one anointed to help you. Be careful. Last I heard, you know, I was on a call today. Apparently, they're selling liquor at these new concerts. You know what I'm saying? Open bars at the concerts. I mean, I guess it's a new Christian thing. You know, get you a drink. Come on in. Hear the songs. You know, can I get a little Hennessy and raise my hand for Jesus? I guess that's our new thing because, you know what I'm saying, he whom the Son has set free. I guess they're using their freedom as an area for the flesh. Come on, y'all, but we don't call that out because we think that our idols can do no wrong. So we won't submit to the standard of true leadership, but we'll submit to the standard of the idol. Quiet up in here. See, okay, when I talk about a sanctioned key holder, this is the example that God gave me. I got a safety deposit box. It's at the bank. I got a safety deposit box at the bank. I got a key. Can't get into it with my key. The banker has to come over with me. The sanctioned key holder has to come. Now, that's my promise. It's mine. It's my box. Everything in it belongs to me. And when I put my key in there, I can turn that key all I want to. But if the sanctioned key holder don't put their key in it with me, both keys, both of us have to be in alignment. I have to bring my sanctioned key, and then she has to bring her sanctioned key, or he has to bring, and we both have to agree that what's in that box belongs to me. They verify that the box belongs to that key. See, when you find the one anointed to help you, they're not trying to limit what's yours. They're not trying to take what's yours. Because the one anointed to help you has a key to everybody's box under their leadership. Okay. That sanctioned key holder has the second key to everybody's box. So a real leader ain't trying to take nothing from you. They're just trying to give you access to your box. All they're doing is verifying keys and making sure you're ready and making sure your box is in order. That's all they do. They're making sure. They're getting you to your box. They're getting you to your stuff. They're getting you to what God has for you. They're the sanctioned key because the sanctioned key holder at my bank don't own the bank. They're just the sanctioned key holder. So I'm not God. I'm not Christ. I'm not the one that's going to send you to heaven. I'm not that guy. But what I am is the sanctioned key holder for those who are anointed to help me. So or those who I'm anointed to help. I'm just trying to get you to your stuff. I got to get your key. You can bring your key. Come on, let's bring my key. That key don't go to that box. Why are you trying to open up their box? Your box is over there. I don't want what's in my box. Well, I can't let you in somebody else's box. So number one, they went up without a promise. Number two, they went up without the ark or the presence. Number three, they went up without their leader. Don't do it. Because in that very next verse, go to verse 45. Look what it said. Struck them and beat them down. Talk to me. See, you have to raise your hand in the middle of them points. Right there in the middle. Yeah. Boom. Good notes. Gold star award. Because it's true. Like, there are some things where it's like, those children of Israel would have stayed in Egypt without the sanctioned leader. They didn't have anything in their hand to split the Red Sea, even though they had a promise that they would cross. He was the sanctioned key holder. Now they're grumbling against the one. And here's another question. Watch this. Let's go back to Egypt. How y'all gonna get there? Who getting y'all across the sea again? How y'all gonna cross the sea? You got, literally, you're here because of a miracle. And now you mad at the man who got you to a place that you couldn't have got to without a miracle. How you getting home? How you getting back? Yes, we about to build a boat. Oh, Lord, let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I honor you for this word. I honor you for truth. As we leave this place, don't leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Y'all learn something tonight?
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.